This is Mark Silvestri, and you are about to experience the Top Cow Chronology Project. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Top Cow Chronology Project. I'm your host, Jace. For those of you not familiar with the Top Cow Chronology Project, what it is, we are reading all the comics in the Top Cow universe in chronological order and talking about them. So that's not a publishing order. A user by the name of Condor, K-O-N-D-O-R-R, on the Comic Vine website put together this incredible chronology so you can read all the books in the Top Cow universe in historical order. So the first books in the chronology take place in ancient times, and it moves all the way up into the future even. So if you'd like to follow along with us, you can go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, go to the podcast page. Off to the right, there's a Comic Vine logo. If you click on that, it'll take you to the chronology, and you can find out which books we're going to be covering and what order. The book we're going to be covering this time is Tomb Raider Journeys number 2. Top Cow no longer has the license for Tomb Raider. The license is now held by Dark Horse. So for that reason, you can't really find these books in a collected format. In fact, I don't think they were ever collected, and they're not available digitally. You can find them on eBay. They're relatively cheap, a couple bucks each. I even found some lots that had the whole run. Kind of felt like those were a little bit overpriced. Might be cheaper to buy the individual issues, just depending on shipping, I suppose. So we haven't been here covering issues proper in a while. I apologize for that. Real hard with a full-time job and a toddler to find time to record. But I'm hoping to start putting out episodes daily and finish up this chronology project sometime in my lifetime. On to the creative lineup for the issue. The writer is Fiona Kai Avery. Pencils by Drew Edward Johnson. Inks are by Jay Leistein. Colors by Jonathan D. Smith. And Tomb Raider Journeys number 2 was published in March 2002. It has the cover artist listed as Adam Hughes, but it doesn't really look like Adam Hughes art, to be honest with you, but according to Comic Book DB, that's who it is. And also inside the front cover of the book, it says Adam Hughes. So I guess I'll have to take their word for it. The cover's white. It says Tomb Raider Journey starring Laura Croft, sort of in the background. The background's kind of a solid white, and she's kind of squatted down in front of that background. So inside the front cover, there's a little synopsis of the last issue. I'm going to go ahead and read that just because it's been so long since we recorded the last issue. But of course, all of the previous episodes of the Top Cow Chronology Project are available on our website. So if you want to go back and listen to the previous Top Cow Chronology podcast episode that covered Tomb Raider Journeys number 1, it's found there on the website, and you can kind of refresh your memory. Otherwise, you can just follow along with this one as I read this brief synopsis. It says, last issue, while sailing to Peru, Lara becomes involved with a ship of time-lost pirates, cursed to repeat a losing battle, until Lara takes charge and changes the outcome. As the curse fades and the ship disappears, Lara discovers that the gold the pirates took in their victory is from the fabled El Dorado. Lara, now adrift on the sea, is anxious to find land and begin her search for the legendary city of lost gold. So the first page opens up. We see a kind of a overhead scene, a small figure laying on the beach. And as we go down the page, it zooms in. Laura has washed up on the beach, like floating debris. And she realizes that it wasn't a dream. She finds herself washed ashore somewhere desolate. There's not a soul in sight. Her guns are useless, having been soaked in salt water. But she still has her pack, so she'll see what's salvageable from there. And then, of course, there's the coin of gold that she was able to bring with her from the pirate ship. and she hopes it leads her to finding the lost city of El Dorado. As she's kind of gathering herself, a young man shows up, says, "You're alive. I saw you from my fishing boat. Here, drink." Gives her water, takes her to his village, and as they're leaving the beach, he says, "You dropped something." He's surprised to see the coin of gold, doesn't want anything to do with it, picks it up and hands it back to Laura. Laura asks if he knows El Dorado, and he says no, he won't speak of it, gives the coin back to her, and won't talk at all. So he takes Laura to his village. It's obvious from the state of the village, the disrepair there, that these people are very impoverished. Laura asks Jose about it. He says that they're just a small clan of fishermen, weavers, and pottery makers, and they don't have much. Another man from the village says, "How will they explain this American woman being there when they come to collect the taxes?" And Jose says that she's going to sleep there. He won't hear anything different. He cooks Laura a fish. Seems to be pretty much a treat, because right away a young boy comes up and says he's hungry and asks to share the fish. The little boy's name is Eduardo. Jose tries to shoo him away. Laura says that it's okay. She's happy to share. And she goes on to say that it seems like the village could profit from some treasure, and asks again if he will show Laura where the city of El Dorado is. Again, he declines, and she asks him why, and he says he's just a fisherman, not an adventurer, and every time someone's gone looking for the city, they've been killed. Apparently, the little boy, Eduardo, didn't go far away. He says he knows where the lost city is. Jose doubts that, tries to shoo him away again. Laura says that it wouldn't be the first time that a young child led tomb raiders or archaeologists to treasure, basically. So she makes a deal with Eduardo. He'll lead them to the city, but as soon as Laura says it's not safe, then Eduardo must return home. Eduardo agrees. They go on a long hike. They're at the top of a big hill or mountain, and there's a fissure in the rock, and Eduardo fits through easily. For Laura, it's much more of a tight squeeze, but she does get through. It's a small cave. At the bottom back of the cave, there's a fissure, and they can see steps leading down to a chamber. So at that point, Laura sends Eduardo home. He doesn't want to go. He says El Dorado's his city. He wishes to see it, but they had an agreement. So Laura gives him a compass, and he won't get lost, and he heads back to the village. Meanwhile, Laura tries to dig into the ground below the fissure to enlarge it enough to fit through, but it turns out that the ground is rock-solid clay, so she ends up having to use a pickaxe and a hammer. The scene then shifts to Eduardo on his way home. He's still grumbling. He says, "It is my El Dorado. It is my city. I want to go there." As he approaches his village, he sees that the mercenaries are there. They're asking where the American woman is. They know she's there. And they know she's there for El Dorado. And the mercenaries want it for themselves. So as Eduardo is kind of eavesdropping, one of the mercenaries comes up behind him. Says, "What are you doing here, little kid? What's that in your hand?" Eduardo replies, "Nothing." But in reality, it's the compass that Laura gave him. The scene shifts back to the underground city. Laura apparently has managed to dig a big enough hole that her and Jose enter. They find the remnants of a city, some gold doors. They push through, and lo and behold, there's the lost city of El Dorado. Seems like many of the buildings are made out of gold. And Laura decides to light this brazier that's suspended above the city so they can see what's left. And Jose is worried. He says, "What about traps?" And Laura says, "You can tell by the way certain statues Vases and other artifacts are missing from the corners of the room. The traps were all dismantled by previous looters. And so they head to the center of the city, where there's another set of doors. And Jose said, "What is that?" She says, "A trap," but she opens it anyway, because she says, "Behind every trap lies gold, Jose." As she touches it, a stone falls from the ceiling, and Jose yells, "Laura, look out," pushes her out of the way. The next page, we see that the mercenaries and Eduardo, the little boy, have arrived at the top of the hill, and he shows them the crevice. They go in through the fissure just as they hear the rock crash to the ground. So they squeeze in. Eduardo hollers, "Laura, Laura, watch out." They shoo the kid away. But maybe because of the noise or the distance, Laura doesn't hear the warning. She tells Jose that he shouldn't have done that. She would have been all right. But he's badly hurt. Looks like he has a broken arm. And he says, "Yes, I think it's dangerous here. We should leave." She says, "No, she's going to work on it. Make sure there are no more traps." Jose says she should just grab the gold and go. But Laura says, "No, first things first, we take care of you." So she approaches the door or scene, the gold scene, where these three amulets are hanging. And Laura says, "We'll take the moon and the stars, but we'll leave the earth." And if you look at these amulets, they're hanging from a triangle. One corner there's a star, one corner there's a moon, and one corner there's the earth. And Laura says, "The inscriptions here say the earth amulet is meant to remain in El Dorado for all eternity. And there's a description of a hot and nasty trap for anyone who tries to take it." Jose says, "No more traps, please, Senorita." And Laura replies, "My thoughts exactly. I think we've earned our gold. Now we leave, but we go back a different way than we came in." Jose says, asks why, and she said, "Because it's bad luck to return the same way you came in." Meanwhile, the mercenaries have arrived at the same spot in the city, and they're upset that most of it's been excavated and looted already, but they see the one remaining amulet, and they remove it from the triangle. Immediately, the city begins to fall apart. Lava comes up from the ground. Laura and Jose are running for their lives, basically, from the lava. Also, the mercenaries are attempting to leave the same way they came in, up the stairs, through the crevice, but it's a tight fit, and they don't manage to escape before the lava engulfs them. Meanwhile, Jose and Laura come to a cliff overlooking the water. The lava bearing down upon them, they have no choice but to jump. They manage to land safely in the sea and evade the lava and end up on the beach, the same place that Jose first discovered Laura. So Laura thanks Jose for his help and gives him one of the amulets, saying that he deserves it. It will benefit his village. On the next page, we see a voiceover from Laura. She says the bandits were mercenary tax collectors, and one of them was dating a girl from town who told them all about her and El Dorado. And now, somewhere in all that hardened lava, they're literally part of El Dorado's history, just like they wanted to be. The back entrance was sealed off with lava as well, and any gold that was there is lost forever. Magma from the earth will melt it down, and it will be recycled somewhere else eons from now. So, meanwhile, Laura must have called for help. We see a helicopter land, emblazoned with the Croft name. And Jose says, "Yes, we did a good thing there. Goodbye, Laura. Thanks for helping my village." And Laura replies, "Goodbye, Jose. And when will you figure it out? I didn't help your village today. You did." And that's the end of the story. So, very much a product of its time. Again, this book was published in 2002. Tomb Raider was a pretty big property at that point, probably had already passed the peak of its popularity, but that's kind of the nature of these licensed video game properties. You know, they get super popular enough to perhaps support a comic, but all the wrangling and deal making takes time. So by the time the comic sees print, the properties often have peaked. So I guess it kind of captures the feel of the video game with the high adventure. Not much to the story. Probably rather forgettable, in all honesty. Not much characterization for the supporting characters. And honestly, in these first two issues, not much characterization from Laura either. As far as the art goes, the storytelling from panel to panel is really done well, as are the layouts. But the art itself from Drew Edward Johnson isn't his best work. This is early in his career, and certainly the work he puts out now on things like G.I. Joe and his own creator-owned title at Dark Horse, The Midnight Society, is much cleaner. And the perspective and everything is done much better. That's not to say this art is terrible, by no means. As I said, the storytelling and the layout are done very well. It's just not quite as clean or as crisp as I would prefer. So, again, I don't know that I could recommend this Tomb Raider Journey series at this point. It may be one of those series where you have to read all 12 issues, and they'll be more taken together as a overall story than the sum of their parts. Again, I think just because it's a video game property, and perhaps putting out a second monthly title for Tomb Raider was just trying to capitalize on the popularity of the video game, then maybe it wasn't done quite as well as it could have been. Or, again, it's just a somewhat of a product of its time, early 2000s. That being said, the Adam Hughes covers on a lot of these issues are absolutely outstanding. So, for that reason alone, some of these books would certainly be worth picking up, especially if you can find them for a dollar or two. I noticed recently on a few comic book investment websites that they were talking about Adam Hughes covers, and specifically mentioned some of these covers on the Tomb Raider books that he did, and how they felt they were greatly underpriced compared to a lot of Adam Hughes covers, like the one he did for Harley Quinn that's going for like $100 now, some of the Wonder Woman ones he's done that are just astronomical in price. And perhaps for that reason, I have noticed that these Tomb Raider covers are increasing in price. Maybe it could just be a coincidence. I'm not really sure. But as I said, the only way to really find these issues is to find them at your local comic shop or, at a show or, of course, eBay. That being said, we are going to be covering a lot of actual Top Cow, owned books, properties and their heroes in their universe coming up. And that leads me to some really cool news, which is Humble Bundle has a Top Cow bundle going on right now. And for those of you not familiar with Humble Bundle, you can go to humblebundle.com and check it out. Basically what it is, it's a big group of digital comics, a big bundle of digital comics that these companies put together for Humble Bundle. And you go and you pay the amount you want to pay, and you get these comics. And the money doesn't just go to Humble Bundle. They take a little, they're cut, obviously, but the majority of the money goes to charity. So the two charities that Top Cow selected were Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and Hero Initiative. And when you go and you purchase this bundle, you can choose which one or both of those charities receive your money. So as I said, you pay what you want, and you receive a huge amount of comics. I'm talking about over $600 worth of comics. So I'll run down the list real fast. Ninth Generation 1 through 5. Ninth Generation Hidden Files number 1. Witchblades volume 1 through 8. That is Witchblade trade paperback volume 1 through 8. So that is an incredible amount of issues. Likewise, Artifacts volume 1 through 6. Those are the trade paperbacks volume 1 through 6. Also, Apollo 9, number 1, Artemis 9, number 1, Athena 9, number 1, Poseidon 9, number 1, Aphrodite 9, Rebirth, volume 1 and 2, so that collects the entire series. Also, Aphrodite 9, Hidden Files, Aphrodite 9, Cyberforce, number 1, and Cyberforce Rebirth, volume 1 and 2. Now, if you decide you're going to pay more than $15 for the whole bundle, additionally, you get Switch number 1, Sunstone volume 1 through 3, and a ninth generation issue 6. If you paid on average more than $11.28, you also get Freshman Volume 1 and 2, Down Volume 1, Tales of Honor Volume 1, Genius Volume 1, The Tithe Volume 1, The Darkness Origins Volume 1 through 4, so again, that's a huge amount of books, and Postal Volume 1. In addition, Midnight Nation Volume 1, Rising Stars Compendium, Berserker Volume 1, and more comics coming soon. So there's also a daily free issue. Each day at 11 a.m. Pacific time, they're offering a different free issue from Image Comics, including one from this bundle. You just have to enter your email below to receive the download page while you receive each day's free comic. So again, Humble Bundle, it's a really, really great way to get a huge amount of books cheap. This Top Cow bundle is one of the biggest bundles I've ever seen. I mean, it's just, it would be worth it to pay like 10 or 15 bucks just for the Witchblades, you know. I mean, that's 8 trade paperbacks. There's no way, no other place anywhere you could go and get 8 trade paperbacks of Witchblade Volume 1 through 8 for, you know, 15 bucks. I mean, they're like 9, 10 bucks each. So it's a great way, especially if you follow along with the Top Cow Chronology Project, to get your hands on these books pretty much as cheaply as you're ever going to see them available anywhere. And not only that, your money goes to a good cause. You're either supporting the Heroine Initiative, which helps comic creators who need legal help or have legal bills or medical bills, or it supports the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which again helps comic creators who are being persecuted, oftentimes censored, things like that. So it's a great deal. Go to humblebundle.com to check it out. Highly recommended. And as I said, especially if you plan on following along with the Top Cow Chronology Project, this is the best deal I've ever seen. Get your hands on these books so you'll have them and be able to read along as we cover the issues. So that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank you all for joining me. Once again, if you want to contact us, you can email us at thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com or go to our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, and use the Contact Us link. While you're there, you can check out our sketch gallery. You can check out Manny's blog, Family Man and His Comics. You can also check out episodes of our Comic Source podcast. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, where I notify you of upcoming convention appearances, and I'm sure to let you know when new episodes come out, just do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook. That's us. Also, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/TheComicSource. And that's going to do it for this episode. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Oh, and I should mention that the next episode is going to cover Tomb Raider Journeys number 3.